Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio
Mail Call Delivery Bag
Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences,
like
communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message
without
the
view.
Watching at home.
What we need right
are
now
the carrots.
Is a clear message to the people of
or
this
even
country.
A cup
you
of cool water.
100 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Don't worry.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly
okay.
Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Ooh,
this is Wretched Radio. Just being pressed down, squeezed under, shaken over. I never memorized that Bible verse because it got tortured to pieces as a prosperity verse. Just finished. I think we did. Was that about 40 minutes? Those two YouTube videos that we just recorded right before we began here on Wretched Radio?
Uh-huh.
That's right. I'm complaining because I've had to talk a lot today. Oh, you poor suffering saint, you. You're just being worked so hard. I'll stop my whining, please. No, I'll make a contingent. I'll stop my whining if you send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org. Jimmy?
Yes?
Do you ever complain about work?
Do I complain?
In any way, shape, or form? It's okay. I won't be offended much.
So
you and I have no right to complain.
No, we don't, but I do complain, but it's usually about you.
Wow. That was a little bit more transparent than I certainly wanted on air. We don't have to lift heavy things. We don't do construction. Those are the dudes, man. They're sweating and they're working. And isn't it sad, really? In our society, in Western civilization, that the lighter labor person is esteemed as being more successful than the dude who breaks his back every day. I just don't think that ought to. And it doesn't mean that you should put the laborer above the intellectual. I just don't think there should be classes at all. You work hard in whatever capacity for the glory of God. I say, salute. So if you send stuff to idea@wretched.org, I'll quit my whining because I shouldn't be anyway. And you can also text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. It's a statement. He starts with a statement. Todd, I was saved in high school, but dealt with pornography for over a decade. Unfortunately, brought it into my marriage. It came to light and I'm finally getting help from my local church. In the last couple of months, I've fallen in love with God's word. I've been clean for 2.5 months now. I have seen Jesus break the chains of pornography,
Amen.
Bring restoration to my marriage,
Yay.
And take me deeper into my fellowship with him.
Awesome.
To the thousands of men who relate to my story, Jesus and only Jesus can break those chains.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can read stuff like that all day, every day, and I'd be just fine. I'll just sit here and silently whine and let you share great stuff. The Lord is working. He can give you the strength. He has all of the power that you need. But we need to remember what should be our primary motivation for overcoming this sin. And that should be a genuine desire to be pleasing to the Lord, motivated by a love for the Lord, because we have been informed and instructed about his love for us. In other words, we need higher, greater affections. Porn is a low affection. We need a greater affection to choose it every time instead of diving into a cesspool of sin. So, dude, very, very glad. That is an encouragement. And as long as we're encouraging, want to let you know, coming up in about a week or two, we're going to be announcing a campus initiative. We want to reach young men on university campuses with the gospel and with hope, because I can't say that I've seen a Lifeway poll on this, but I would be willing, not that I'd gamble, but I'm just metaphorically, I'd be willing to bet that 100% of unregenerated young men are watching porn. 100%. I don't know what capacity. Now, what is the percentage of young Christian men that are battling with it? Well, I don't know that it's not 100%. I know that. But I know the percentage is far too high. This is such an ill in our day. And so we're going to invade the campuses. How do we do that? We're going to send you free cards. They're really nice. They're like thick paper. And it has a QR code. It's got a good message about porn and being set free and becoming the man that you know you currently aren't but want to be. And it'll have a QR code to a book that I wrote called Play the Man, which is all about the new affections that we need in order to have victory over pornography. And it's got, don't you worry, it's got the law, it's got the gospel, and it has genuine biblical help for having and gaining victory over the sin of pornography. So you go to the campus, you order your cards for free. We send you the cards, then you just go to the campus and go, hey, dude, get one of these. Hey, dude, this is for you. Hey, young man. You might need this, and just hand them out, and you will be shocked at how many hundreds you can give away in no time whatsoever. But not yet. We'll be making that announcement in a couple of weeks, because we know that this sin is a scourge. We know the number of young men that are in bondage, and we know the solution. So we'll give you the stuff if you'll put it to work and go to the university campus. And as long as we're speaking about evangelism, by the way, you might find yourself engaging in a lot of conversations, because if the dude stops, some do, some will just take it and grab it, put it in their backpack, whatever. But some are going to look at it and go, oh, yeah, man, I deal with this issue. They are so transparent. This generation is so willing to admit, yeah, I've got struggles with this. You might have some really wonderful conversations, which I just happened to watch last night, I think, a Ray Comfort video popped up in my feed. Imagine that. And he was witnessing to a dude. I wish I could remember his name. He posted it within the last 7 days or so. This guy, he said to him, yeah, you know, I struggle. I got some demons, alcohol and all of that. But he's had some sort of church experience. Ray shares the law and the gospel. It's a beautiful thing to behold. And Jimmy, you'll love this. So the guy says that he needs Jesus. He needs to have his sins forgiven. Ray says, I'm going to pray. And then if you want to pray, you can. So Ray prays for him. And then the guy actually prayed.
Oh, wow.
I got to tell you, it honestly felt like I'm like going behind the veil of the Holy of Holies. I'm not supposed to be here. This just seemed like too intimate between a man and his God. But nevertheless, he prayed. You know, he said some stuff where it's like, yeah, okay, good. Yeah, please forgive my sins. And I'm just messed up. And it was like, whoa, really cool. And then Ray does a 17-minute commercial. And then it comes back to the young man who says, this is so great. And he was so happy. He just had a different disposition. He said, now I can get baptized. Get ready for this, Jimmy, because down the beach, they're having a mass baptism. Oh. So he's one of the dudes who went to that and got himself put into a horse trough and baptized. Let's pray that the man was genuinely converted. It was a beautiful thing, and it'll be a beautiful thing for you. If you go to a university campus, be looking for the Play the Man campaign coming up in 2 weeks. In the meantime, send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is from a stay-at-home mother. She says she is the mom of three, ages 6, 5, and 2, and her husband and her are going through a season. She says that he recently opened up and said he does not love me.
Ouch.
Or feel connected with me, and he's not sure he ever did.
Can we stop right there for a second? Because I know there's a lot more to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a big mess. Sir, if you're feeling that way, it's not her. It's your job to work on your heart. It is your job to cultivate those emotions. And you might need some help with that. That's what the men of the church are for, to walk alongside you and to help that and model and disciple that for you. But don't let that happen to you, and don't blame her. I've heard this too many times. Well, we've just drifted apart. No, you've abandoned your responsibility to love and to cherish your wife. Don't let that happen to you. I'm sorry. Continue.
He comes home after work to see the kids, but he doesn't sleep at home, stating he needs to figure things out. I and counselors at our church think he is being spiritually attacked and think he is going through true conviction. He's very intellectual about the Bible, but he stated that he doesn't feel anything in his heart. My question is, how do I respond with him leaving in a biblical way? And is it wrong for me to be angry with him?
Okay. What I was going to say, like my response wasn't really direct answer to her quandary. But what I was, as you're reading this, I was going to say, well, she needs to be getting her elders involved so that they can help her and that they can instruct him and discipline him if necessary. That's their role and their job and their responsibility. But then you started talking about spiritual attacks and what have you. You need your elders to help him understand he can't be sleeping elsewhere so he can figure it out. He doesn't need space to do that. He needs to think it through very quickly and he needs their instruction. So my encouragement to you, madam, is to find godly men. Hopefully that's your elders. If it's not, find godly men who will engage with him and who will talk to him and guide him and help him and let him know that he's just blowing it right now. Look, I know there's two sides to every story, but a dude who's talking like that, who's not loving his wife, who doesn't sleep at home, he's blowing it big time and he's missing the boat and he will have nothing but regret and he's not living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. Find those men who can help you talk to him helpfully. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before, through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. FortisInstitute.org/truth. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible.
First and Second Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hypocrite! Handsome Jimmy Hicks is a hypocrite. And I've got the proof. This is Wretched Radio. Mr. Pun, Mr. Dad Joke. I tell one during the break. And what do I get from Mr. Punny? Crickets. We were talking about an edit, and I said, how much time is that? And he said
2:30.
And I said, dentist time.
And I repeat it, 2:30.
Yeah, but you didn't.
I didn't laugh.
You weren't amused. You didn't think it was funny?
Yeah, I was making notes.
2:30. 2:30. Yeah.
See? It is funny.
You read that calendar somebody sent us and you can't stop guffawing.
You know, look.
I share a punny joke. Nothing.
Look, my wife told me I had two major flaws.
Just being kind.
I don't listen, and I forgot the other one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 877-282-2337 if you want to text whatever. Jimmy,
yes.
That last question, that was just so much.
Yeah.
I just, nobody is going to unravel that ball of twine for you, especially long distance. They've got to be engaged. They've got to be willing to jump in. They've got to be willing to... I don't know how vast this is, but there's a bit of a trend. So take that vagary for what it's worth. That in these situations, I found that it's my experience in some of our good churches, the attitude is basically, well, this is an opportunity for you to grow in holiness, ma'am. Got to remember sovereignty. And, you know, there's probably things you need to do for self-examination. And you know, ask yourself how culpable you are in this and just learn long-suffering and forbearance. Now, all of that stuff might be true and needed and even valuable at a point, but I've noticed that there is a reticence to jump in and say, hold on, you're dealing with what? Now, that doesn't mean the dude is guilty because you've got to hear the other side of the story. But if you just hear a lament from a woman and you don't engage, you're not going to hear the other side of the story and vice versa. So we need to be willing to jump in when a woman finds herself in a precarious position dealing with a man who it sounds like, yeah, he's at the very least trying to work through some things. They need our help. They need us to be willing to jump in and say, all right, are you okay? Are you safe? What can we do to support you? We are willing to jump into this, but we're going to need to get the two of you together. Are you prepared for that? Because this is what the church is about. And we've got to be careful. I don't know why, and I don't know how prevalent it is, but there is, it seems, a wind of, well, women just need to deal with it. Yeah, that's not the totality of the situation. So let's be just at least be mindful of that. Whether that strikes a nerve with you or not, whether that hit any sort of mark with you and your church, be mindful of that. We can have a propensity to be one side or other, and it can be gender driven. I don't want to sound woke here, but it can be. That's kind of our natural propensity. Dudes hear a dude, and it's like, yeah, I get that. A woman says something, and it just there's less about getting it. Well, we need to get it and we need to be involved. We need to be engaged. And this doesn't mean that the pendulum swings the other way. Everything she said is totally gospel truth and he's the jerk and he needs to be disciplined. No. I'm not saying that, but I am saying we got to get in there. We got to jump in. And when a woman says there's trouble at home, our response shouldn't be, well, let's just give it some time. Our response should be, how can we help? 877-282-2337. Are you going to say anything about that? Are you going to let that fly?
Well, I think the only thing that I would add to that was just part of her question, is it wrong for me to be angry with him? And I would say, no, it's not. I mean, there's a such thing as grief-born anger, righteous grief-born anger. But I would say, be angry and do not sin. Let it drive you to God. not away from grace, but I think, so I don't think it's wrong to be angry.
I would attach some strings to that.
Oh, for sure.
I know you did. You said it's got to be righteous anger, but I think grief and hurt most certainly don't, emotions are so tricky. Your grief might feel like anger and vice versa. I would say that's grief, but to be angry, this is the admonition that Paul gives the Ephesians very quickly though. Deal with it. Doesn't mean 24 hours, it doesn't, you know, before the sun goes. It means be expeditious about that. Get on it. Be forgiving. Be willing to forgive. And for my money, the best way to do that is to remember how much you've been forgiven, that you have been forgiven much. So we forgive much. And no matter how bad the treatment is that we receive, we need to remember we treated our Savior far worse. And even continue to, frankly, how much we sin against our Savior. I hate to think about it. And he's patient and he's forbearing and he's so kind in the midst of our confusion, our negligence, our abandoning and forsaking him, which we do anytime that we sin or make a wrong selection. And yet, what does he promise? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And we need to remember that as fully as we possibly can. Then we turn to the one who has forsaken and abandoned us. Okay, I got one more tip for this woman who's writing in. On that subject alone, you might want to listen to this Sunday sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church, because that happens to be what it's about. Jesus is about to be forsaken by the disciples. Wow. Wow. They all scatter. And so we're going to do a deep dive into the disciples' forsaking of Jesus, how we can forsake Jesus, focusing on the promise he'll never forsake us, and then study how he was forsaken by the Father so that you and I could be adopted and justified by Jesus. Dwell on those things, and then you can turn your attention to your husband who's not living up to expectations and missing the mark, and you can have more patience, and you can have more forgiveness and less anger, and ultimately more concern, compassion, and even pity. Because if this fellow is living in a way that reveals he only has an intellectual understanding of Christianity and he's not a Christian, then his fate is awful. And vengeance is the Lord's, and he will execute it. And it will be a terrible day for your husband. And that should move you then ultimately to be able to forgive, not be angry, and to have compassion. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Cody, who wrote in, Todd, in a recent segment on the Holy Spirit, you stated that the definite article was critical and should not be removed. Can you elaborate why?
Did I say it that way?
Yeah.
Did I? Okay. All
right. She says, we don't say the God or the Jesus. So it's just confusing to me.
Yeah. Well, I think what I was protesting against is the way that the non-definite article use of the third person of the Trinity is being used and why they're dropping the definite article. Come Holy Spirit, come. So it doesn't say come the Holy Spirit. It's come Holy Spirit because it's an address. So you can drop the. You don't want because that indicates there's other Holy Spirits. But yeah, you could in your prayers call him Holy Spirit. The reason that it tends to grate against me in our contemporary context is because of this big movement, the NAR, that's put so much focus on the Holy Spirit, and it's to the neglect of a focus on Jesus and the Father. It's just all very Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, there I just did it without the definite article. So they use it like, you know, so I'm talking to Holy Spirit, And it reveals that they're out of whack with their balance and their focus. We need to remember who sets the tone on our focus, and that is God himself. The Holy Spirit is equal in every single regard to the Father and the Son. But his role is to take a spotlight and not turn it on himself, but to turn it on the Son. that God might be all in all. That's his role. So yeah, we can pray to him. We can. And we can, we probably should be thinking more about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But this kind of casual, like, you know, Holy Spirit, me and Holy Spirit, we're just hanging. Holy Spirit, and it just reveals kind of a casual confusion over the role of the Holy Spirit. So if I made it sound like you can never drop the definite article, Jimmy was wrong to do that. but it's the issue that I really had was just, and it's really heartbreaking because there are so many people who are falling under the sway. The fastest growing movement in Christendom is New Apostolic Reformation movement. And it's deficient in virtually every regard. It plays though so beautifully into the autonomous self, the individualized self. It's such an inward focused thing, and it is just so theologically bankrupt. That's what bugs me about the dropping of the definite article. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.